Today's circular talk about odds and ends in London starts and ends with the fish in the River Thames. As you peer into its murky depths, you'd be forgiven for thinking that not much survives there, and for a long time, that was the case. But a cleaned-up river means the fish are now returning. It's home to 125 different varieties, checked out regularly by scientists from the London Zoological Society and the Environment Agency. So, welcome back the flounder, the bream, roach, perch, carp, and the reappearance, in a small way, of the smelt, which is said to smell of cucumber and was so abundant in the Thames that 50,000 of them were once taken to Billingsgate Fish Market in one day. And don't forget the reappearance of the two-lipped door snail and the hairy German snail. In the past, you could catch a fine salmon. How shall I speak of the fat, sweet salmons daily taken in this stream, wrote someone in the 1500s. And prisoners in the Tower and apprentices in the city are said to have complained at getting salmon on their dinner plates yet again. The legend goes that St. Peter came down himself to consecrate the church, which later became Westminster Abbey, and rewarded the fishermen who rowed him across the river with nets full of salmon. In commemoration, the clergy at the Abbey sit down each year to a salmon supper provided by the Fishmonger's Livery Company. But salmon have proved reluctant returners despite the wads of cash spent on attracting them, including ladders introduced upstream to help them past the locks. Maybe the river's too warm, or maybe they don't like construction works down on the estuary. One of the staples of fish cookery in the 16th century was stockfish, cod, dried but not salted. This salt bit is very important. A 16th century writer advised you to beat the fish very well with a large wooden mallet before cooking. It is the best way to have them beaten with hard, heavy ropes. But even this beating didn't apparently make it very palatable, and there are plenty of accounts of its smell, durability, and general unpleasantness. However, there was a great culinary step forward when someone tried salting the cod before drying it. It was transformed, and salt cod is popular now around the world. It's hard to find that unsalted stockfish nowadays, but when the poets W.H. Auden and Louis MacNeice travelled in Iceland in the 1920s, they ate stockfish, though it has to be said not with a great deal of enthusiasm. Auden wrote that the tougher kind tastes like toenails, the softer like the skin off the soles of one's feet. There's more to the Thames than fish. Centuries' worth of items, lost or discarded in the river, are now being collected along the shore by mudlarks. If you were thinking of joining them, you need a licence from the Port of London Authority. Scraps of pottery, glass, rings and brooches, buttons. One mudlark presented a collection of more than 2,000 buttons to the Museum of London, and another has a collection of 18,000 pins. So useful in the days before zippers and Velcro for holding yourself together. Those dozens of pleats in a Tudor ruff were held together with pins. That was a boom time for pin manufacturers. It's one thing to accidentally drop your purse or indeed your pin in the river, quite another to drop something in deliberately. And when what was dropped was more than a ton of lead type, there has to be a story behind it. And the story concerns two Hammersmith men, Emery Walker and Thomas Cobden Sanderson. In 1900, they started a printing press together, the Dove's Press, named after the Riverside pub. Go and have a drink there. The press was a joint enterprise, but after the two fell out, Cobden Sanderson was allowed to go on using it to print books, the agreement being that on his death, the type would revert to Walker. Cobden Sanderson became increasingly unhappy about this, his sacred, beautiful type being used for who knows what commercial and sacrilegious purpose. So to prevent this ever happening, he dropped the whole lot into the river from Hammersmith Bridge, over a period of some 4 months. 98 years of tides washed over it until, in 2014, a graphic illustrator in love with the typeface searched the foreshore at low tide and found some pieces of Dove's type on the shingle. Continue along the river past Kelmscott House, home of William Morris, who liked fishing. Some of his fishing tackle is in Hammersmith Library. This part of Hammersmith, down by the river, proved very attractive to artists and craftsmen. Edward Johnson lived there and did some work for the Dove's Press. He taught calligraphy in the sort of leisurely way that would get him suspended nowadays. He spent one whole term discussing just the letters A and B. Another of his lectures was on 50 ways not to write the letter A. But I suspect you're familiar with his work because he designed the typeface that London Underground still uses. A little further along the street lived Eric Kennington, war artist in both world wars, sculptor of the bust of T.E. Lawrence in St. Paul's Cathedral, and one of the pallbearers at Lawrence's funeral. In the great flood of 1928, when the Thames burst its banks, the Tower of London and Houses of Parliament were both flooded, and 14 people were drowned, Kennington's wife Edith found a fish in her workbasket alongside her embroidery scissors. So we've come back to fish via the Thames and what else you can find in it. To hear more about what Londoners ate, please come on one of my Saturday morning foodie walks. To hear more about goings on in Hammersmith, join me for William Morris and Friends.